This is episode 81 with David Newell.
Welcome to the As Told by Nomads podcast, where you'll learn how nomads, third culture kids, entrepreneurs, and leaders all over the world embrace their global identity and use their difference to make a difference. And now, having lived on four different continents, here's your host, Tayo Roxy.
Welcome, Nomads. Today I have with me David Newell, and he's calling me from Boston, but I'll let you determine where he's from when he talks with his accent. But David is the head of brokerage at FEI, where they help online business owners sell their businesses to investors. The niche has become increasingly popular with buyers online and offline in recent years as people discover the benefits of owning online investment. So we're going to be talking about passive income stream, and a lot of you nomads, you know, you tend to live in different parts of the world. So this is going to be a particularly relevant topic because he's going to dissect different ways you can have passive incomes while, you know, traveling or living in different parts of the world. So welcome to the show, David.
Thanks, Tay. I really appreciate it. Yes, as you said, I look after the brokerage department at FE International, which is one of the largest online business brokerages in the world. And we basically, in layman's terms, help people buy and sell websites and internet businesses that are revenue generating of all different kinds, everywhere from sort of $20,000 right up to $5 million.
Wow.
And yeah, big scale. There are lots of people to work with. I think it's an industry that has risen in prominence, certainly in the last 5 years. It's still very small. There's still people discovering it every day. And I think the biggest attraction, you know, why people come in is to really try and build that passive income stream to allow, you know, that lifestyle of digital nomad, or even just build a kind of 21st century retirement portfolio in the case of the older age people.
Awesome. Now, is it like a stock market for websites where, you know, you can buy and exchange?
It's not so much a stock market. Think more of an eBay, I would say, where you have listings. Yeah, listings are particular businesses, and they can vary, you know, wildly. I mean, obviously, the internet's a pretty weird and wonderful place, and there's plenty of ways to make money on it. And so we sell businesses, you know, everything from e-commerce to AdSense sites through to software as a service businesses, straight software businesses, lead generation businesses, across every niche you can think of, really. So you could quite easily, you know, fall on our website looking for a blog about gardening and at the same time see a photography software business or a medical education lead generation business. There's all sorts of things that people are interested in buying.
No, I like the eBay analogy. So let's say I'm an aspiring potential investor. What would I do? I'll log into your site, and then what's the process?
Yeah, that's right. So you come in, you have a look at listings. Obviously, you might have a sense about how much you want to spend, what kind of niche you have an interest in or personal experience in, and what sort of business model, you know, your particular set would be good at. You might be an expert at content or SEO, or you might be really good a developer. So that might dictate what type of business you like. And you'll look through those lists, and then if you see something you like, you can request additional information on it, and we'll send you like a 20 to 30 page information packet that covers everything about that business. So similar to how in eBay you'd have like a listing description, the prospectus in this case is 20 to 30 pages about the financials of the business, the operational history, the traffic, all sorts of questions and answers that the seller's provided about the business and growth opportunities about how to take it, you know, to the next level. So that's a really kind of comprehensive pack. that, you know, buyers use to take a decision about whether they want to go forward with a business or not.
Yeah. Now, I know it's a lot of upscale stuff. Do you have to have how many users do your, you know, listers and sellers, well, potential sellers, usually average users per month?
Oh, it varies massively. I mean, you know, I'm selling a social gaming and chat business at the moment that gets 180 million page views a year.
Oh, wow.
At the very extreme high end. I think, you know, to put it in more modest terms, I'd say, you know, the average business maybe sort of 10 to 30,000 uniques a month, probably.
Okay.
But, you know, it can be, you know, traffic is not really the primary sort of criteria. Actually, more often than not, it's the revenue generation.
So revenue
people
generation.
Are very focused on, yeah, so people are very focused on the earnings that the website is making every month.
Okay. No, I love it. Now it's, you know, it's really sounds intriguing. And one thing that I want to touch on, we were talking earlier and you were telling me how, you know, it's not necessarily just for the digital nomad, because, you know, I think the Social Security system initially was put in place to have a nice retirement nesting egg, but the way the systems are set up right now, it's really not conducive for you to really have something or enough to live off when you retire. So passive income, right, it started to become more and more attractive to employers and not just entrepreneurs. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on ways they can do that and how they can use your service to do that. Because,
Yeah, 100%. And you're absolutely right. In fact, a large, like, demographic of our buyers are actually, you know, some people that you would think were most unlikely website owners. They're sort of 40, 50-year-old people that are thinking about retirement planning and adding passive income. They're oftentimes real estate investors or have other investments elsewhere, so they've got an idea about you know, investing in businesses or assets that can create them an income. And a lot of people think about websites as a sort of digital version of real estate, so that kind of explains the overlap there. I think you know, what we try and do for that demographic of people is help them understand how they can buy a business off someone where, you know, that the person who they're buying it off is probably running, you know, a small aspect of it for anywhere between 5 and 20 hours a week. And we try and help them understand how they can take that 5 to 20 hours a week, you know, and make it 0 hours, outsource everything to the right partners and turn the business, you know, to a completely passive asset. And, you know, we help them do that by mapping out, you know, the process flows and all the work streams of the business, and then outsource those to reliable third parties, you know, virtual assistants,
oh, wow.
Cloud-based help services and customer service and so forth, until it's almost a completely sort of touchless business, and it's just generating, you know, nice cash each month for them.
Wow, so you actually do some hand-holding as well. That's really cool. I mean, I was just, initially when you said that, I was just thinking, you know, someone goes and buys the business and then, you know, they figure it out themselves. They got to figure out the virtual assistants and all that. But it sounds like you have a system in place that at least initially helps out a little bit with just, you know, orientation.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, it's a big financial commitment, and I think, you know, well, oftentimes it can be, and I think you know, you need to be very sure about what your transition plan is post-sale, right? You know, buying a business is one thing, running it is an entirely different animal. And we find that supporting people through the process right into transition is really helps them, you know, get the confidence to pull the trigger in the first place. So we're always, you know, on hand to help people with that.
Okay. Now talk to me about the different ways people make money from it. I know it's, you talked about the revenue models that people have sometimes, but what are the ways that you've seen and you've noticed?
So I think, you know, in terms of our split of business sales, I'd say they're kind of split evenly. I think a common one for a lot is the very traditional content, you know, blog model, and that's either monetized through advertising, display advertising like AdSense, or direct advertising with other partners or CPM networks, and also people following like the affiliate angle. So a lot of people make a lot of money off Amazon affiliate websites, and again, that's just a case of doing product review content sites and then linking out to Amazon for purchasing. So those are very, and they're quite simple for people to understand, particularly offline people, because, you know, to a extent, once they're up and running, it's just a case of posting more content to get the traffic in each month to either get the advertising revenue or get the affiliate revenue. So that's certainly one quite common method. Another is e-commerce, and again, that's very popular with a lot of people, particularly in the offline world, because I think everybody interacts with retail, so has an understanding about, you know, cost of sales, gross margins and net margins, so forth. So we see a lot of people are wanting to acquire e-commerce businesses, often drop ship, which, you know, means they don't have to worry about the inventory, warehousing, and fulfillment of orders. Instead, they're just concerned about driving, you know, traffic to the business. And then a slightly more technical, like further scale, but very popular amongst buyers, is your software as a service type businesses. So these are, you know, recurring revenue software offerings that are in the cloud to customers. So, for example, you know, just recently I've sold a photography storage service where people could upload, you know, their photos and have them displayed on a nice website, and you would pay, you know, $20 or $30 a month for that service, and it had, you know, 2,000 or so customers. So that's another example of a monetization model that people buy.
No. I mean, I'm loving it, and I'm I'm getting more intrigued. I was wondering why no one even thought of this before, but it seems like, how long has this been in business?
What specifically?
The whole model where people can buy and sort of sell, the eBay of websites, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been going for probably 10 years now. I think it's the industry went through some kind of different iterations in the early years. People first getting into it, they didn't really understand, so people were buying websites for very, very little money. And then as brokers saw the opportunity, particularly people selling offline businesses already, they came in and kind of formalized it, and now it's kind of at the more mature, sensible stage now, and it's probably been like that for about 6 years now.
That's cool. I'll definitely be checking it out. One thing that I'm listening to and I'm hearing from you is, it sounds like you're saying, you know, buying a business and building one are not mutually exclusive.
No, I mean, and this is the thing, I think a lot of people face the buy versus build debate, right? It's the classic sort of entrepreneur. I think if you're an entrepreneur, you're always going to start that. And, you know, a lot of people start with build either out of necessity because they, you know, don't have the capital, or out of intrigue. So what we tend to find is we get a lot of what I call second stage entrepreneurs come and buy from us. Mm-hmm. And they're people that have already done it once, done it successfully, and now they want to use those skills to leverage into an existing business. So, like, you know, there's a lot of sunk effort and time, you know, in the early days of starting a business. And if you've got the capital, you can potentially skip all of that, buy something that's already a proven business model, and use, you know, your skills to potentially boost the business up, you know, overnight. And we see that quite a lot. You know, we see people with, you know, particularly expert SEO or PPC or email marketing ability buy an otherwise under-monetized business, and then within 2 or 3 months, you know, they've doubled the value of it because of the skills they've brought to the table.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I've definitely faced that dilemma where it's buy or build, and I'm starting to see it's not, especially when I've started to surround myself with more serial entrepreneurs, I hear their stories, and it's like what you said, it's so mutually exclusive, because sometimes you can add value to one existing business. Other times it just makes sense to, you know, to build one. So it just depends on the scenario and kind of where you are at that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
And certainly that, like, that offline demographic of people, you know, who wouldn't have a clue how to build and don't
absolutely
have interest in learning, they're very keen to, you know, buy their way into it and outsource the difficult bits.
All right. Talking to David Newell here, and you know, we're talking investments, we're talking building businesses, we're talking about websites and ways to set up your business. so you have passive income stream. Now, do you have examples of people that have set up the business where to such a place where they can travel? You don't have to mention names, where they can travel to the world without looking at it? Because a lot of the people here are thinking, you know, some of them might be people that just tend to be, I don't know, working out of a cyber cafe in Thailand and in Bali, and they just like, you know, that lifestyle that allows them to go move every 3 months. But I'm guessing one of them is wondering, wait, could I buy this business and really set it up? David said they have like the help of virtual assistants and all that, but is there really a place or a system that allows me to do that so that I can like
try? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And like, you know, we sort of sell about 70 or so businesses a year, and the vast majority of people that buy and sell these businesses are, you know, those digital nomad types. You know, in the last 3 or 4 months, you know, I've bought and sold businesses on people's behalf through Japan, Thailand, Korea, Colombia, the US, the UK, Spain. My client list at the moment is equally varied, and these are people that, you know, are constantly on the move and constantly, you know, optimizing their businesses so that they don't have to stay in one place and work for, you know, 20 or 30 hours a week solid on it. I think, you know, some businesses more than others make sense from the outsourcing perspective. You know, one of the things about, you know, buying an established business already is that it's got a fixed kind of set of work streams and hours and so forth with it. So it's a lot clearer from the outset how to go about outsourcing that. I think if you're building a business and traveling around, the prospect of, you know, outsourcing components of it could seem very difficult and very challenging because, you know, you're doing a lot of critical work then. But, you know, if you buy a SaaS business with 1,000 paying customers already and everybody's, you know, the average sort of retention rate, you know, is 2 years or whatever, and you know, it's 15 hours of customer support a week, then, you know, you can feel pretty confident about putting that out.
Absolutely.
As competent. Definitely. Virtual assistants, and then go off, you know, traveling around the world, do your week-long trek in the Amazon or whatever, and you know you're going to come back and your business hasn't fallen apart. And that's very much like the wheelhouse that we deal with, you know. Sure, for sure, not all businesses are candidates for outsourcing, but yeah, a lot of the ones that we are right for it.
Okay. No, that's good. Where can we, what's the website? Where can we find out more about the site, more about the business?
So we're at www.feinternational.com. And, you know, one of the things we tried to do a lot of in the last 12 to 18 months is get a lot of, like, information out there to people, because, you know, I know when we first started chatting, you were like, what on earth is buying and selling?
I have no idea. I was like, what is this?
Exactly, right? So we get that a lot, right? And most people, you know, I can't explain my job to them. So what we're about is, you know, trying to bring it down to, you know, the sensible person's level. So on our site, you know, there's a lot of great content, there's a lot of free guides and a lot of good information there to help you understand, you know, right, how to buy and sell.
Okay. So www.feinternational.com or .org?
.com.
.com. All right. So you just moved, right?
That's right, yeah.
From the UK to...
From London.
Yeah, from London to Boston.
Yeah.
What has your experience been like since you've been in Boston? Is there a culture shock moment? What's it been like?
It's not been too bad, you know. I think Boston, out of most American cities, is probably, you know, on the more European kind of colonial... You know, it's the first city that, you know, the British came over and conquered, so it looks a lot like Britain. So I'm feeling like I'm feeling quite at home, just with a lot better weather than I was.
Well, it's not raining as much, is it?
No, exactly. Thank God.
It's interesting because, you know, you came to, like, I haven't been to Boston yet. That's one city I haven't been to, but I'm not far from you. I'm actually in New York right now. And there's this rivalry between them, but it's always such a different culture where, you know, a lot of people in Boston tend to have an interesting perspective of New York, and a lot of New Yorkers have an interesting perspective of Boston. So I'm always curious what people think when they travel there. Have you found like a pub or a nice area where you can watch some stuff that keeps
you...
Yeah,
I found a good couple of very Irish Boston bars to hang out in, and some pretty sketchy dive bars to go drinking in as well. But you're right, you know, there's definitely like a Boston, New York kind of civil acrimony. I think Bostonians are very proud. They're very proud of their city. They won't take any crap about it from New Yorkers. But it's nice, you know, I think it's...
No, I think especially during the baseball games, right? The Yankees and Red Sox, that's the biggest rivalry there they have. But, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Alright, I'm a big sports fan, and, you know, I'm Nigerian, so the first team I grew up loving, I don't know, this might make you hate me or love me, I don't know, I'm a big Manchester United fan, right? So,
same.
You are? That's so good. Oh, good. Yeah. Sometimes when I mention it, I'm a little bit timid when I mention it, because sometimes when I run across a Liverpool fan or an Arsenal fan, I'm like, oh, we just had such a good time talking, and now we're here. But, But yeah, so I'm a huge Man U fan, and I was happy with the game 2 days ago with Club Brugge. But do you still get to watch those games?
Actually, I get to see more of them than ever before, and for much cheaper. It's
really
incredible. Like, you can watch the Premier League in the US, like, you have all the games, and they're really cheap to watch, whereas in the UK, it's like really expensive to watch them, and they only have a few. So, no, it's been great. I never thought I'd see so much.
Do you think they're going to do it this year?
I favor Arsenal this
year.
You
favor Arsenal? You think Arsenal, really?
Yeah, I think best squad in 10 years playing with each other for a while. Could be interesting.
Yeah, we'll see.
But it's going to be a much better season this year than last year. Last year was over by, you know, March time. This year it's open.
No, I agree. I don't know. I'm not a big Man City fan, but for some reason I think it might be. I think Man U still needs to do a little bit more, but I think Man City might have a strong squad. I thought Chelsea would have started off better, but I can't complain about the start they had. So, but we'll see. But okay, so FEinternational.com. Want to do one more fun fact about you. What's the country that you? What's the country that's your favorite country in the world? Let's just start with that.
That's an easy one. Colombia.
Colombia.
Yeah, so I lived in Medellin for a month when I was traveling South America a couple of years ago. And best beaches, best, like, really good tech community, you know, great food, great people, beautiful, loved it.
All right, well, I have to check it out then. I haven't been to South America yet. And then last question I always ask everybody, how do you use your difference to make a difference?
That's a good question.
Hey.
I think, you know, as we was kind of talking about at the start of the call, I feel like a lot of people who don't know much about buying online businesses and stuff are naturally a bit, you know, scared and a bit concerned about, you know, what might happen. And I think one of my differences is inspiring confidence in people and, you know, encouraging them to, like, you know, push out of their comfort zone, you know, when it feels right to do so. And I think I've done that with a lot of people at FE over the years, and it's been nice for them to come back after 3 or 6 months and say, you know what, buying this business is brilliant, and I'm really happy with it, I'm really glad I did it.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you get those reports back, and, you know, people are really happy that, you know, made them good money or helped their lives out in some way, you know, that's always pretty rewarding to hear.
No, it's good. No, I think it's always makes it even more worth it, because you feel like you're adding value to someone's life. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah? Well, you know, I mean, thank you so much for coming on the show. I feel like I've learned a lot more. I know I was initially skeptical because I was like, I don't know enough about the topic, but it's definitely relevant, and I'm always looking for different ways to add to the passive income stream, but even just to learn about you know, different ways you can add value to other people's businesses. I think this is one way people can become interested in entrepreneurs. I don't think this is certainly one path to being an entrepreneur. I think there are many, many paths. I think you never know what you could stumble across on a site like yours. So I appreciate you coming on here to share that knowledge with us.
Well, It's been absolutely great to do it.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I'm still holding out hope. Man U's going to win this year, even though that's against conventional wisdom. That's against conventional wisdom.
I tell you what, if they do, we'll go have a party.
Yeah, there we go. But thank you so much. And I can't wait for this to come out. I'll let you know when this is out. And then we'll get to sharing and hopefully get more people and more websites listed on the site.
Great to chat.
All right. Thank you so much.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to use your difference to make a difference, as well as for show notes, head over to www.uidmag.com. Till next time, go out and make an impact in your world.